35 people. For attendance, let's see, for the board, I can see Kathy, me, Kelly, Rishima, Erica, Kira. Am I missing any other board members? Okay.
I'm here, Jim.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Angela.
Oh, Angela. Thank you, Angela. You were at the bottom. I didn't see you.
No worries.
All right. Is there any public comment? All right. So we close the public comment then. What about any corrections to the minutes? Okay, so I would like to see if we can make a motion for the minutes, please. I move to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Thank you very much, Rishima. All those approving, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Sam, I think you're first up on the principal report.
Thank you, Jim. Today I'm gonna focus on at least two specific areas around instruction and student engagement overall. The first thing with our middle school and our high school staff, we're focusing heavily on our professional learning communities, making sure that we're truly creating really this context of collaboration and continuation from middle school to high school to identify some of the key areas of focus. And that for us is around student voice and sense making. As you'll hear throughout, we were conducting walkthroughs with Achievement Network. It really helped us to see some areas we wanted to hone in. With that, our instructional leadership team, we are focusing on creating an alignment that will connect the PLCs with our learning walks and hopefully our assessment to make sure that they are aligned overall and we can start identify some growth there, growth overall. March, for everyone who is looking to come to Great Oaks, March is our testing month. It is definitely testing season. That's when everything gets started. We're going to start next week. Well, actually this week with access testing, and then we're going into MAP and SAT. So we will have that and all your love to our students and teachers during this month. With that said, I did talk a little bit about our instructional walkthroughs with Achievement Network. It was really eye-opening. It helped us see some of the great things that we're doing and areas we wanted to focus on. As I mentioned, we saw the care concern for our students by our teachers was definitely there. The engagement piece, which we saw there was a growth, right, from our COVID timeframe to today, we saw the engagement, the percentage of students across classroom increase. What specifically where teachers had questions, the essential questions and certain pieces posted, we saw our students were a bit more doing some self-thinking and authorship and active engagement around those areas. So for us, that's why we really want to hone into student voice and sense making and creating a trajectory of learning and development around that area. So we're really excited for that. And that development will follow on the 16th, which will have our professional development. It will be paired with Achievement Network, and it will be a half a day so that we can focus and dedicate that time for our teachers' professional development. With that, I do want to move into our students. There's a lot of things to celebrate. The first one is we are in baseball season. So if any of you are baseball lovers, please do not hesitate to start connecting with our students in our sports. I know that we mentioned in our last meeting, our website, it is up and running. So please do not hesitate to go there to see when our games are. Also track, we have a phenomenal track team. We will have a meet coming up in less than 3 weeks, so I will keep you updated. I have to truly say, Coulard, we have won in so many different places. Give me 1 second. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
This may be the only baseball we can catch this year, too.
Yeah, seriously. I'm really looking forward to this. From our track and now to our cheer team, they won first place in the state championship. And when I tell you, they never, you know, cease to impress us. They're always Miss Hitchens, Miss Henderson. They really work hard to make sure that they are truly succeeding. And even Ms. Brotnex, I know she does a lot of work with the team as well. So just kudos to them. And whenever, if you see any of them, please send them, you know, your congratulations or thoughts. Also in the celebration spirit, we had our honor roll student celebrations. We had a luncheon. The funny part is this, the luncheon, it was catered by our school. They had they had a chicken Alfredo, and all the kids were like, "Oh, this is amazing! See, our school cafeteria. I need to learn how to do this." We were like, "It's from your school cafeteria," so you know. So it was great to kind of see their faces and, you know, give a round of applause to our chef. So that was actually pretty good. But I tell you, that was truly an amazing event. A lot of great recognition, connection. One of our teachers, Mr. Ross, he did a motivational, speech for our kids, and they were able to connect and really get excited for what's next and what's to come. And lastly, in terms of celebrations, we are planning our preparation for our fellows for next week. It's going to be AmeriCorps week. So we'll send more info, but we'll definitely we'll have some good things going on to celebrate our fellows. And lastly, we are partnering up with the CB, the student advocacy team, and with our guidance counselors to have a pretty comprehensive career fair. This is going to be in May, so I will send you all the information. I really try to expose our students to all the possibilities that do exist, and this is going to be something that will be open and connected to our students and families, along with some college workshops on financial aid and ways to, now that you got into college or now that you're, what's next, right? That part can be debilitating for some. So making sure that we have all of our bases covered. So I'm going to pause there, but there are a lot of things to come, and I'll make sure that I update you accordingly. But thank you.
You're busy. That sounds great.
Wow. A lot of stuff going on.
On my toes, yes. Thank you.
A couple of questions. Sam, thank you for the update. It's very exciting. Of the fellows, do we have any returning fellows for next year, or is it too soon to tell?
It's too soon. I know that we've been having certain conversations. We have, there's been fellows that have said that they're returning. There are others that their trajectory of where they want to be and what they're studying for may change their track, but we still don't have that data yet. Jim, but as soon as we do, hopefully by our next meeting, we'll be able to give you that information.
Thank you. Thank you. And also on the career fair, is that only for Great Oaks or is that a number of schools participating?
So right now, and that's actually something that we can consider, Jim. So right now it's just for Great Oaks, but depends how many different employers and community opportunities are there, we may open it up. I know that the student advocacy group is working hard on identifying some of those pieces. So I will look into that and see what are some opportunities there. That's a good point.
Because I think we'll have a fair number. You know, we've got about 60 graduating.
Yes.
Of those, a number are going to college. So how many would potentially be attending the fair?
So we were going to focus on our juniors and seniors.
Okay.
Provide a lot of our juniors are for juniors and seniors. A lot of them are looking for that opportunity, and we're trying to start to connect our students early on. So we're looking at expanding it to our juniors.
Okay.
So are you looking for part-time summer jobs, Sam, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, part-time summer and also throughout the fall or the year.
Okay.
So right now we've been working we actually identify jobs and secure job for a couple of our students. I am sorry. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yeah.
Okay. We were able to secure some jobs for our students at Metro Diner.
Oh, nice.
So if you're familiar with,
yeah.
So right now we're doing more of individual work, but we want to make sure that we open and expand it to give these opportunities to more students. And our 11th graders are truly constantly looking for opportunities.
Excellent. Excellent. Rashima, do you have any thoughts from the city point of view on anything that we should be looking at for opportunities for our kids?
Actually, I just spoke to the CEB earlier today about Great Oaks for the student advocacy. So we were actually discussing them in Forest to, we're actually going to come in as a career person also through our Delaware Pathways to Apprenticeship program. To get them in more so into the construction industry if they're interested in the trade and capacity. So we're also talked about, you know, longer term in regards to starting with the 11th graders too and kind of just getting started and get exposure and what that looks like. So we just had that conversation a little bit earlier today. But I did tell them that we're in and we can try to figure out how to by the time they graduate, if we can have them go into our Pathways to Apprenticeship program, maybe in the summer, and then that way it can propel them into their actual apprenticeship, which will be, you know, years long. So we'll put them in a career path. As far as the city, I think the part you're probably, it's at the end of May. So I think for the most part, you'll still be in a good place in regards to where, you know, some of the stuff for the summer. The only piece that's probably going to miss is you probably should have them start early for the summer youth employment if they're going to do that with the city. If you have any teens that want to be a part of that, that would probably be earlier. Most of the time they close their applications in April. So if they're interested in that, I would have them get started on that process. Sam.
And thank you, Rashima, because on right now on our Zoom is Ms. Curtis. She's one of our school counselors, and that was one area that she wanted to connect our students a little bit earlier on. So Ms. Curtis, I am throwing that ball back to you. So definitely. Thank you.
And I would agree other employers do the same thing, Sam. They are looking earlier in the year. And I know that, you know, some of them are starting as early as February. You know, we don't have to go that early, obviously. But, you know, doing it sometime in March or April, you know, they'll have a better shot of getting some opportunities.
And check Newcastle County too. The Newcastle County's youth employment program starts around the same time the city does as well. And they actually have more opportunities in the city. So that may be also an option. And I think the city is trying to become city year round, where they're also giving students opportunities year round. So yeah, probably check into both of those.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was also wondering regarding the students that are going to college, is there a way for us to do a press release to the local newspapers to give the names of all those students? Because I think that's something we should try to celebrate if we can.
I know that we are looking at different ways to highlight. Next meeting, we wanted to bring, I'll give you a little tidbit, but we have some students that have received in total almost $1 million worth of scholarships.
That's so terrific.
That is yes. So I like that idea a lot, Jim. That I think that is something that would not only highlight the student, but also identify and see, you know, some of the things that are happening at Great Oaks. Our team is working hard, our guidance counselors, and it is definitely showing. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, one thing that if I could add real quick, I know Dean Henderson is working on having like a college signing day,
because mm-hmm.
some students still haven't quite decided where they're going yet. So that'll be one of the ways that we're going to do a celebration. And then from there, maybe we can, you know, get it out there about, you know, where our kids are going specifically, how much they've earned in scholarships, that kind of thing.
Thanks.
Thank you, Erica.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much, Sam. That was a great report. Finance report, I think Ms. Lambert is next.
Hi, everybody. Okay, do I need to do a screen share? Does everybody already have the report?
I wanted to do a screen share so that we can all be on the same part when you speak about that, Michelle.
All right, so let's take a look. There we go. All right. So on your screen, you should see the report through January 31st. We are 58% into the budget year, and we are comparing it against the amended budget that the board did approve at the last meeting. So what we're seeing is for revenue is 79% of revenue has actually come in. The remaining revenue to receive for the remainder of the year is going to be the spend down of our federal grants and recognizing the revenue for that. My team is actually going through because there are some budget amendments that Leland is working on. So once the budget amendments are completed, then we can go back and reallocate expenses to the federal grant. So we should see a big jump happen in this federal funding number. So it's trending low right now at 36%, but our hope is over March that'll be approved and we can go ahead and do the reallocations and you're going to see a big jump in that federal funding number. Other than that, the remaining income to come in would be from the foundation for the support of the AmeriCorps program is the remaining funds that we expect to receive. I know the last time we met, Leland was going to check in with the foundation to see if we could get that earlier. Typically that comes in, I believe he indicated May or June. The hope is maybe being able to request reimbursement for what has happened up until this point, so that we're not waiting on that. So really right now we're anticipating for federal funding and local fundraising, this is really just a timing difference. On the expense side, what we're showing is facilities and maintenance is running about.
Amber, just a quick question. So therefore the funds that are coming from the foundation, we are expecting what amount at this point?
$114,000, the difference that you're seeing there.
Okay, I didn't understand that because it says local fundraising, so I didn't understand that. Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Was there any other questions about revenue? Sorry, I kind of went through that pretty quickly. Did anybody else have questions about revenue before I move on to expenses? Okay. So looking at the expense side of things, what we're showing is total facilities and maintenance. So far, what's been expended year to date is $663,000 compared to the $1.1 million budget, represents 56% of that budget. Most of the expenses are, everything that you're seeing there is timing difference. The insurance right now is showing at 68%. I do believe that's being paid in 10 installments instead of 12. I do have an email out and I just need to confirm that. So really right now, my anticipation is insurance is a timing difference. I am expecting it to come in slightly higher than 43,000. I think that's about 5,000 under budget as I was looking at what's coming through so far. So there will be a permanent difference of that probably being our expenses being over budget, but not by too much. Food service is something that's 500. Nothing has been spent in that area as of yet. Under instructional support, we're showing that's running just slightly under budget at 55%. The variances that you're seeing there are really just timing differences for anything that's greater than the variance that you're seeing. And then finally, student transportation is trending a little bit lower than budget. A lot of times it's just the timing of the invoices coming in. Again, that's at 44%, $329,000 of that $746,000 budget has been expended. So year to date, total expenses are running just slightly under budget at a total of 54%, $4.2 million has been expended thus far. You're currently operating at a net surplus of $1.1 million, and you're sitting on a fund balance of $2.5 million. As you can see from the budget, we're anticipating a deficit. So my anticipation is we're going to start hitting that deficit number probably around the mid to late April timeframe is when you're going to start to see where we're hitting that deficit and we're utilizing our carryover reserve from the prior year to offset that deficit. Again, we are currently sitting on a fund balance of $2.5 million. Any questions at all about any of the expenses that you've seen or anything in the report that you had a question about?
Thank you very much for that. One question is, it shows that at the end of the school year, we will have a net $338,000. Can all of that be expended on any expenses next year, or is that in some way restricted?
No, that's all unrestricted. So you would be able to utilize that for next year's operations.
And is there any additional funds coming in from COVID relief that we have not accounted for at this point?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Just the current federal funds that you have. We'll receive the revenue reimbursements for that, which we've accounted for in the federal entitlements. But there's not any new funding that I'm aware of that's come through that's not already been accounted for.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And anyone else have any questions on the budget? All right. So I move to approve the web report if no one else has any other comments. Could I get a second, please?
Aye, second.
Thank you very much. All those approving, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, everybody. Have a good
evening. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michelle.
And I guess the recruitment update is next.
Yeah, actually, my team, both members were not able to make it. So I'll just make it as part of my updates, executive director updates. Just share the screen real quick. All right, good evening, everybody. I just want to start with our COVID updates. Last week, Secretary Cardona gave an update regarding masking guidelines for all schools and early child care centers across the state and across the country. He gave us the opportunity to give our own guidelines or give our own communities either the choice, the opportunity to wear the mask or not wear the mask. And based on the data and current student vaccination rate at Great Oaks, which is somewhere around 25%, Great Oaks will continue to wear a mask to the end of the school year if our community risk and student vaccination rates improve dramatically prior to the end of the school year, then we will reevaluate our masking requirements. Any questions regarding that before I move on?
Leland, what are the other schools doing? Is everybody following this type of guideline?
Yeah. Well, with the CEB, you know, we share a community. So Kaumba is wearing a mask to the end of the year as well, unless the data begins to change in regards to vaccinations and the, you know, our community, within the community that we serve, and the CEB the same. So we share spaces, right? We share cafeteria, library, dance spaces as well. So this was really a building-wide decision, as well as a community decision. So it's impacting the whole building.
Are the students wearing masks in the cafeteria then? Is that what you're saying?
Except to eat, right? Yeah. But in shared spaces, when they're not eating, they're expected to wear the masks.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Would like to move and put on the boards, put before the board to possibly return in person for April board meeting and moving forward. Just put that, or at least the option, right? We can have a virtual for everyone who are not able to make it, but also come back to in person so that we will be able to address matters in person. Also, we're inviting the board to do a spring walkthrough and have a date to set where collectively there could be a walkthrough as far as through our school and a tour and come into some classrooms. Recruitment updates. As Jim, you referenced, currently we are at 290 students. That's including all students currently for this year. We have 61 graduating seniors, and we currently have 37 applications that we are processing right now, and we'll be uploading to determine the number of first-year agreements that we have. We have a minimum of 260 that we must be at by April 1st. So if you look at the 290 number and you subtract 61 and give or take any of the eighth graders that may be moving on to a VOTEC or a choice school, somewhere our numbers would be around 226. So we need to be at 260 by April 1st. So we have a contractor that we received a referral from the CEB, and we are working with her, with our recruitment team, full-time to recruit at Kaumba and all the surrounding charter schools, Thomas Edison, Eastside, Charter School Newcastle, and then some of the zip codes that we mentioned in our last couple of board meetings that traditionally we've done outreach with on the Route 9 and Route 40 corridor. So,
Leland?
Yes.
So, I'm just trying to follow a little bit. So, 290 and then 61 graduating, but then the 37 could potentially add to that, right?
Depending the 37 on- would be adding, yep. Those are brand new applicants
okay.
that would be new to the Great Oaks community. Yep, and I do have some updates with that as well. Next week, Kelly, we're going to be meeting with Groves of Red Clay, which is a Twilight school that helps students who may not, you know, may have missed a couple of years of school, may have some credits to recover. We are looking to form a partnership between Groves, the CEB, and the Groves to offer a Twilight school at Great Oaks, which will be a first-time offer. Many of the students that we've been canvassing and reaching out to that stopped going to school 2 years ago, 1 year ago during the pandemic would benefit greatly for the opportunity to be able to go to a school that is differently, that you're able to get your credits differently at night. So that is something that we're going to be offering so that students who may have been at a ninth grade level and missed 2 years of school will not be placed in a ninth grade school school classroom, but they will be able to operate and function at their own pace to get the supports that they need through GROWS.
But it's a regular time. They would go regular class time, right? So it's not a strain on the teachers?
No, actually GROWS supplies the teachers.
Oh.
But this will be a separate class at night between hours of 5 to 8. So we would have classes our normal time, maybe 10 to 4 next year. And then we would have a second twilight offering that we're offering between 5 and 8.
Okay. That's great. So then those students would count in your numbers?
They would count in our numbers.
Yay, that's awesome.
So this gives us a great opportunity to meet the needs of students in the community that may not have been in school the last couple of years. And many of our students stopped going to school. They did not sign up to go anywhere else. So we are still calling those families, and we're going to be canvassing next week to get those students back into school.
That's awesome. That's a great opportunity for the students to get on track. That's great.
Yeah. So Kelly Tetrick is the principal of GROWS, and she's going to be touring next week and meeting with us. And we hope to have an MOU shortly with that.
Regarding the recruiting that you're starting now, Leland, that you need to sign that contract, is that something that can that contract can also help with GROWS as well or not?
Yeah, the contract that we have with the contractor is overall building our infrastructure or our process for recruiting moving forward with mailers, with zip codes, and just follow through. And based on a recommendation from our board members, we are looking to have a full-time recruitment person for students and staff moving in the future. So I will be submitting that to the board as per the recommendation for many of you.
Is that a different discipline, do you think, Leland? Like personnel hiring versus recruiting students?
Yeah, it's two different things, but with many of the professionals that are at the district school, some of our schools that we're working with, including GROWS, they do have a full-time person that does recruit.
They do both. Okay.
Yeah, they do both. Yeah.
Now, so, given realistically that we have 3 weeks left, Leland, how soon do you think we can sign that contract?
The contract has been signed.
Okay.
The MOU for GROWS would be within a week of meeting next week at the latest. Linda and CEB, they're ready. We're ready. It's just a matter of working it out with the district red clerk. I do need to update you and our community that also right after speaking to GROWS red clay that we got outreach from GROWS of Christina, which is a separate district, and it's still GROWS, but it's a different district. They're reaching out as well to offer GROWS for those students that may want to attend school that live in the Christina school district. Neither GROWS site, either Raleigh or Christina, have a location within the city of Wilmington. So we are offering them an opportunity to have a hub that's directly in the middle of Wilmington, which neither GROWS site has at this time. So it's a win-win for both the district, Christina, Red Clay, as well as all the students that we sign up will be Great Oaks students.
So Leland, what is the impact if you get more students, but they come in after April 1st?
So that's a great question, Jim. We must be at 260 by April 1st, right? That is the minimum that we could be at. From 260, any students that we get in addition to that, our goal, that's 80% of what we told the state that we would be at, which is 325. So our ultimate goal is to bring in over 100 students and to be where our cap is, which is 325 students.
Okay, so if they come in afterwards, as long as we're over the 260, they will count for next year, but we need the 260 for April 1st.
To stay in compliance according to the CSAT agreement that we got last year.
So it's not impacting our funding if we get them after April 1st?
Right. It only impacts our funding if we accept students after September 30th. September 30th is still the unit count.
Okay.
April 1st is just a projection of where you're going to be September 30th.
And we have some runoff between apps and people actually showing up, right?
Correct. Correct.
What do you estimate that runoff is, Leland?
It varies, you know, year to year regarding the pandemic, but generally it is important to keep in contact with families throughout the summer, even though they sign a first-year agreement. But schools, once you sign a first-year agreement, it is at the discretion of the school to release you from that commitment of signing that first-year agreement. So once you commit, you are committed to that school for at least a year.
I think technically that is correct, but we've just seen people that are still no shows for one reason or another, you know, so that's what, but the important thing is that we have until September.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So that is the update regarding our recruitment. We are still looking to improve and still building relationships within our community this year. What we are targeting as far as what Great Oaks has to offer is mentoring for all of our students, tutoring, which is the basis for what we do. Each student has access to additional support in English and math. And in the next couple of weeks, we will be going to New York and Bridgeport to take best practices from the Great Oaks schools up there to move our tutors from middle school to actually being full-fledged embedded into the high school. So we do, I know our fellows, you asked the question about our fellows this year and commitments. We actually have two fellows on the call, and I'll give them a little heads up that I may ask for them to chime in or what have you, but there are two dedicated fellows with a part of our community, and I know at least one of them are looking to, at least one of them are looking to return, who are on the call tonight. So we'll definitely, towards the end of the call, give them a moment to chime in. But beyond that, we also have University of Delaware inside the building, CEB. They're on the 8th and 9th floor, and they are targeting Great Oaks students to offer the C Plus program for every Great Oaks student who graduates can go to the University of Delaware free for the first 2 years for cost savings over 4 years of $70,000, which is a nice savings to go to college. And David Teague, who leads the Wilmington University of Delaware campus, is really looking to partner with us. So that is something that we have to offer. And that is something that we will be utilizing in regards to our recruitment to let our families know they have access to go to UD straight from Great Oaks, which they could remain in the building beyond the, graduating from Great Oaks.
That's really cool. I wonder if we could do something where those students are like peer mentors for the high school kids to kind of help them get on that path and figure out how to navigate that. That would be kind of a cool program.
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's great. Just as far as next steps.
Yeah.
No, I love that. Yeah. So, and speaking of that, definitely Kelly Furman and myself met with an organization called Generation Next, who has been doing mentoring throughout Delaware, but is phenomenal finding professionals to mentor high school students, and they are looking to partner with us. And they do a lot of the legwork as far as background checks, training. The commitment on our end would be to have a coordinator to coordinate scheduling and be the liaison between the mentors and our students. But that is right at the cusp of being actualized this spring as far as an MOU, and we will be initiating that next year as well.
And Rashima, thank you for that connection. Like Cassandra was amazing. And they do the match. They also create the curriculum for the mentors and the materials for the mentors to come up to speed on how to be effective and how to make sure. And they also are sort of expert in making sure that they're making good matches and the background checks and everything. So it is a turnkey program other than the coordinator cost, which feels well worth it for all that you get for that. They also talked about, Leland, I don't know if Cassandra talked to you about this, but they have another program called Let's Talk, which is also free, where they could come in and do an 8-week program where they would do lectures on things like anxiety and wellness after COVID, and it would be something families would be invited to how to deal with, you know, post-COVID stress and how to re-engage with community. And they'd be willing to come in and do that for the eighth graders, which is, or the, you know, the ninth graders, the younger kids that aren't going through the mentorship program. So it's kind of neat because they're thinking about ways to really be, help the school all the way through.
Absolutely. Yep, they definitely offer that as a service as well, supporting our students with not just mentoring, but their own social, emotional support coming off the pandemic. So that would be used on our parent university and after school and even on Saturdays, that would be offered. So thank you, Rashima, for that referral. That
was good. A
great connection, and we are looking forward to partnering.
Leland, do you need approval from us to execute this contract and move forward?
Yeah, so the contract is actually, there is no cost to partner with them. There is a position that would need to be funded at a rate of $12,000 for the administrator as far as a coordinator. And Kelly made a great suggestion I want to submit to the board, that with the current shortage as far as admin and staff being pushed to the limits, it would be nice to have a external person that would be able to ensure the success and be able to take this on full-fledged.
Yeah, because we could, Cassandra, like I could help supply the mentors and Cassandra could do all the heavy lifting because the staff is so, so busy with all the things they're trying to do for all the things that Sam talked about and all the things they're doing from a recruitment perspective. This, they have a great program, and we could, you know, take a lot of the heavy lifting off the staff that's already very burdened. So I think it's a great recommendation to hire the coordinator and get the expertise for the program.
I think it's worthwhile for our children to be able to have that service, Leland. So I'm in full agreement that we approve that $12,000 so that we can go move that forward, especially if we can, you know, do anything to help the kids that are graduating this year and the kids that are about to graduate for the following year. So mm-hmm. we can help those that are, you know, our most senior folks.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Mentoring is so important to give our students someone to talk to guide them, because you only know what you know, right? And have someone there that can listen, that it extends their village, right? Their access is exactly what we stand for. So thanks. Thanks. So do we need a second?
I second.
All those approving, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much, Cleveland.
All right. So I do want to take a moment to honor one of our seniors. And Marlando Frederick is a senior who recently just left about an hour ago. He's part of the track team, but he is a founding scholar. He's been with us since sixth grade. He's a leader. He's on honor roll. For two market periods this year. He's a member of the track, basketball, baseball, and soccer teams. And Marlando is not here with us on the call, but he did say a few words if I can play it for you.
Hello, my name is Marlando Frederick. I am attending Griddle Charter School, and I've been attending here since the first day they opened.
Thank you.
Orlando, can you please talk a little bit about what you're involved in at Great Oaks?
I am involved in sports such as basketball, track, and baseball, and also student internship. I am involved in that because I get to learn from the different staff in the community around Great Oaks Charter.
Awesome. Also, can you talk about your academic experience here?
My academic experience as of right now is I am an honor roll student. I've been an honor roll student for the past two marking periods.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that third one as well.
Yes, and the fourth.
Absolutely. What is something that stands out for you about Great Oaks?
Something that stands out is that Great Oaks is like a family. They will never back you down for nothing. They'll always hold you up to your best ability.
Thank you. Is there any last minute words?
Shout out to Ms. Lopez and Mr. Kent for always being there for everybody.
Aw.
Woo!
Thank you.
That was very nice. Thank
that
you.
That was very nice.
Yeah, shout out to Marlando Frederick and all of our seniors. And as soon as I've done my presentation, our team, Erica, and as well as Ms. Price and Ms. Lopez, I am sitting underneath all of the banners or hats that honor all of our seniors that are going to college and have scholarships. So I definitely want to end my presentation with that. But before I do that, I want to highlight our cheer squad once again.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! They have just been traveling from Maryland to Texas, back home. They just participated in the state championship at Smyrna just the past weekend, and I want to mute myself and allow Erica to give us an update on the latest.
Thank you for the shout out. The team has been through a lot this year. We've had a lot of members in and out. We've had some injuries. We had some drama. I mean, there's always, you know, something with teenagers, you know. But this group has really pushed through. They've done so much with being flexible and the changes we've had to make and adjustments we've had to do, and they've just stuck through it. They set goals for themselves individually, that set goals as a team to win states. They actually did two performances, so they got first place in the co-ed division against Newark High School. And in the other category, we were in a really tough division against schools who, you know, are phenomenal, that we actually look up to, like Padua, St. Mark's, Christiana High School. We're very close with their coach there. She's let us use their facilities in the past before because, you know, we don't really have the space as we would like to. Howard, we went against them in our other category. We are almost done with the season. We have one more competition that is a follow-up championship competition to the first one we went to in Maryland. We'll be going to the Poconos the second to last weekend in March, right before the senior trip. So it's busy in March for us. But I'm just proud of them overall. They've been doing really well and they earned it and they're excited now because I told them, you know, like they wanted to get jackets, you know, they get state championship jackets and that's all they really care about right now.
That's cool. That's so awesome. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. So I'm proud of them.
Thank you.
Congratulations. You're very dedicated to help them year after year, Erica. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to have to rebuild, though, because they're all seniors except for one of them. So next year is a rebuilding year.
Well, a good opportunity for a few willing students, I guess.
So that concludes. I'm going to stop sharing, and I would like to conclude my presentation just with walking down the hall, and I'll start from the beginning, where we see these hats, and if you, as I raise it, you can just see the number.
Aww.
It's all by a name, and you will have the colleges that they are all going to. And it's throughout the alcove. This area is called the alcove. And you can see the number of colleges and students that are going to college.
Yay. That's so cool.
Milan, congratulations.
That's awesome. Leland, how many are going to college out of the 60?
I would defer to my academic team to give the good number, but I know
that's a lot of hats.
Yeah, yeah. Most of those are some of them are doubled up. There's like all the kids who got each college that they got accepted to is up there.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can't think of an exact number right now, but I know that we do have a decent amount going into the trades. I want to say at least half of them.
Yes.
Awesome.
It's at least half, and we still have some that are undecided right now.
Yeah.
And that are still waiting also for an acceptance letter.
That's incredible. Yeah, because April's the big date, right?
Yeah,
they hear. Yeah. Oh, congratulations to all of you.
But we are highlighting them as they get accepted and as they come.
Oh, that's so neat.
So,
you know, it would be great if we can try to get something in the paper for them. And also the information that Sam shared with us before, that if you have nearly $1 million worth of college scholarship, yes. You know, kudos to those kids. I mean, that's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Yep. This is just one student. These are all the scholarships. This is just one student, and it's not even all of the actual offers.
Excellent. It shows the reward for the hard work that you guys are doing, and the students' hard work as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah. So thank you all, and that does conclude the executive report.
Does anybody have any questions for Leland? Okay, so then we'll sign on to the executive session, and we'll reconnect in a few minutes. Thank you very much, everybody. You have a very good night.
Bye.